All right. Welcome to another episode of Breaking the Mold podcast. I am truly blessed and honored to have Angel Acevedo from LHR Plumbing and Heating with us. Angel, welcome to Breaking the Mold.
Thank you, brother. It's great to be here.
Yes. So we have known each other for a little while now, known each other in the industry.
Yeah.
Tell me how you got into the industry and basically from when you decided, hey, I want to do plumbing, I want to do heating, all the way to owning your business. Kind of give me a brief background on you for everyone to hear.
Sure. So when I was getting ready to graduate, college wasn't in the books for me. So I actually was planning on going into the Marine Corps.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah, so I was speaking with a recruiter, and I felt like, you know, maybe, you know, I was a wild child.
Oh, boy.
To put it lightly. I was always getting into some sort of trouble. And I thought maybe, you know, the military would help straighten me out and,
sure,
you know, get me on a path to not going down that wrong path that I could kind of see for myself. And a couple weeks before graduation, the girl I was dating at the time, her uncle owned a plumbing company. And they asked me, like, hey, have you ever thought about plumbing? And I was like, no, not really. And then,
who does?
Yeah, exactly. Who does? And, I, you know, it's, you know, when you're a kid, you don't understand how the world really works. And so, because I was like, I ain't messing with toilets and doing all that.
Sure.
But they're like, no, we do commercial construction. And I was like, oh, I guess that makes sense because buildings need plumbing, right?
Yeah.
So it intrigued me. And so I said, yeah, I'll do it. And so I put the military on hold, and I started plumbing right out of high school, right when I graduated. I started plumbing. And, you know, it's definitely been a journey. I've had the unique opportunities to work with some really great companies. And so I've got to see a lot of facets of our industry, not just, you know, commercial plumbing. Got to do commercial, did a lot of residential, roughed a lot of houses, done to do a lot of remodel work and a lot of custom fancy high-end work. And then, you know, I got to work for a really big service company as a service technician, and then eventually get to work my way into the office and kind of learn the business side of plumbing. And then I remember in 2008, kind of the housing market and all that kind of crash. And I remember getting laid off and doing all that. And I actually went, I got some Microsoft certifications because I was always a tech guy.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So I did take a brief stint from plumbing, and I started doing IT. And so I was working on networks, working on servers, installing wireless everywhere. So a little bit that most people don't know about me. So I started doing that. And then I was still doing plumbing alongside that, doing side work, doing all of that. And then
at this time, are you licensed? Are you like apprentice and stuff like that?
I'm licensed. Oh, gotcha. I'm licensed at this point. And I was just so busy with just side work, and I just get sick of working late. And I just told my wife, I think it's time for me to get back into the industry. But this time I'm going out on my own. And and she was behind me. And so then I started LHR. We just celebrated 8 years.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So it's funny how I feel like a lot of stories start off with like, hey, I was working here, or, you know, I took a stint and started doing just side jobs for friends and family and stuff like that. Like, side jobs are like the king, right? Like, you just do it. I always, like, I look at, you know, because I've managed plumbing and heating companies, I know that the men that come work their normal hours with me are doing side jobs at night. Like, it's just a given.
Yeah.
Why can't plumbers just, like, take a night off? Like, why do they feel like they always have to be doing side work, and they're always hustling and working nights and working weekends and stuff like that? It's consistently through the board.
Yeah.
And it always blows my mind where I'm just like, man, take a weekend off. What do you mean you replaced a water heater this Saturday? Like, can't you just take a weekend off? Like, just take it off.
Yeah. I think it's true for probably all tradesmen, not just like mechanical and plumbing. You know, like, it's one, here's the beauty of the trades in general. One, I love the trades. I'm for the trades. I should have worn my other hat that I have, but guys and girls that are in the trades, there's something within them to serve, because all the trades, whether you're doing construction, especially if you're doing service, it is within you to want to serve. And we all have a unique skill set that no one could ever take away from us. We're highly trained people, And this is something I always repeatedly, Wednesday, we do Wednesday meetings every day. Training is Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Wednesday is our training day. And one thing I always try to instill into my team and my crew is you're not just a plumber. You're not just an HVAC tech. Like the days of that are far behind us. Like you are skilled technicians. You've gone to school for a long time, continuing education. We're always constantly learning and developing our skill sets. Mm-hmm. You are skilled individuals. You're intelligent individuals. And I think when you have those types of skill sets and you have the ability to help somebody, I think it's just within us like, all right, I'll do it. You know, sometimes sometimes I'll get nervous wearing an LHR shirt in Home Depot because I'll see this, like someone's like, you know, they come and they're just like, they're looking at you like, hey, can I ask you a question? Yeah. You know, and it's like, yeah, sure, go ahead. You know?
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, and I think that's you know, to that, like I think us tradespeople, yeah, sure, side money, that's cool, like that's a good benefit, but I think when it boils down to it, we want to serve.
Yeah, and I think that's huge, and I think you really nailed that on the head. Very, very well said. With, you know, you can't become a plumber off of YouTube.
Yeah, no way.
Right? You cannot become a plumber off of YouTube. You do not hire a plumber that is certified off of YouTube.
Exactly.
Right? You can't. Yeah, small little home projects. Yeah, if you're a homeowner, you want to risk it.
Yep.
Go ahead. But guaranteed, you're going to call a plumber afterwards, right?
Sure. Like, or your wife's going to call.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, right? When she's just like, I'm going to step in the other room for a minute.
I want hot water.
Yeah, exactly, right? And I think that is a stereotype, right? So that's kind of, you know, and you know, that's why I started my business, right? Yeah. That's why I started Mighty Media. It was like, I wanted to break the stereotype of the trades. Mm-hmm. You know, you think plumber, people in their mind that aren't in the industry might think of like, plumber's crack.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I mean, it happens. Yeah. Right. It definitely happens.
My daughter, I mean, she's just like, Dad, make sure you have your belt on. I'm like, who is this kid?
Yeah. You know, you think like the olden day plumbing, heating, technicians, you know, cigarette hanging out of their mouth, mm-hmm. plumber's crack hanging out, going home and drinking Bud Heavies.
Yeah.
Right. That's not the industry we live in now.
No.
It's not. It's so evolved since from years and years ago. Right.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you still do have those companies that do operate that way,
yes.
Right? They are, you know, they do a work, and every 10 minutes they're outside smoking a cigarette in the driveway, right? But there are some great companies like yours that really, truly value customers' time, their money, and their image, right? And you're trying to break the mold of stereotypes.
Absolutely.
And you're doing a fantastic job. You know, I when I see your trucks, they're perfectly lettered. I love seeing your trucks out on the road. Look at you right now. You have a great, great swag on right now. You got uniforms. How important is it to, one, have lettered trucks, and two, have uniforms for your technicians?
Well, I'm just going to kind of echo what you've already said. So the days of broke fix, going in, the chucking a truck, if you will.
Yeah.
Like, plumbing is too expensive.
Totally.
I mean, if people could see our actual raw material cost of everything. I mean, I remember the days when I could put a water heater in for $700.
Yeah, not anymore.
I can't even buy them. I mean, our cost of material is through the roof. And so in order to, like, if you're going to be able to, if you're going to charge the price where you can actually, you know, one, you want your team to be able to make a living, right? You want, like, one of my goals is I want my team to be able to have a life work for LHR they couldn't have anywhere else.
Yeah.
Right. So with that, in order to do that, there are certain margins that we have to meet. And with, if you're going to charge, you know, you know, certain rates, well, there's a certain expectation that comes with that. So yeah, you know, you need to spend the $7,000 on wrapping brand new vans.
Yeah.
Right. You can't have the old Econoline, you know, falling apart. Mm-hmm. And that's how I started. Like when I first started by myself, I had a $500 white Ford E250 running out in the back. I don't know how anyone hired me, but they did. Two-toned, like it was, you know, it was. But, you know, now it's like we, you know, we have to spend the money. You know, one van outfitted with a guy, we're talking about $175,000.
Easily.
All invested.
Yep.
And, you know, those guys got to be insured, drug tested, background tested. You know, it's because we're providing five-star service to our customers, and you know, our reviews speak for themselves.
Yeah.
But people come to expect that. They come in just to come in and say, yeah, no, we're just gonna replace this and go, and leave them with a bill of, you know, $500 or whatever with no explanation, no service. Right. Those days are done. They'll you're not gonna get repeat customers.
It's so true. I think it's an art that gets missed a lot. And listen, you know, you have to start off somewhere.
Yes.
Right? So don't think that I would say like, hey, listen, you start your business, you get that
letter. Yeah, I would say
it's expensive, right? It's expensive. I got my pickup truck wrapped.
Yeah.
It was almost $4,000.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, man, I hope this was really worth it.
Yeah.
And I got my first phone call 2 days ago because they saw my truck at Dunkin' Donuts. I got my first lead. I'm like, finally, it went paid off. But it's so important because when I go to job sites, when I go to someone's job site, the homeowner is expecting me because I always make sure they know, hey, our marketing agency's going to come by, take some photos. When I pull in, they don't have to question, is that him? I don't know if that's him.
Yeah.
They see my truck. And just like you guys, right? A customer calls you. If a just plain white truck pulls up, you don't want them to instantly have that anxiety. Like, is that my plumber?
Yeah.
I don't really know. And then they get out of the truck. They have no uniform on.
Yeah.
They just look dirty. And instant anxiety just starts overwhelming that customer from the get-go.
Yeah.
Where your job as a professional is to alleviate all of that.
Absolutely.
Alleviate all of that from the second you pull into that driveway. They know who you are. You look clean. You look presentable. And you're ready to get to work.
Absolutely. It's important because, like, nobody wakes up in the morning and wants to call a plumber.
No.
Right?
No.
Because you already know. If someone, a plumber's coming to your house, you know, that's an expensive day. And typically a day that you weren't expecting.
And they're already on high stress alert.
Exactly. The stress is high. They already don't trust you because maybe, you know, they were a hit and run from another contractor, whatever the case may be. So it comes again, like service. People are expecting a certain level of service. And the way I like to explain it to my team is, working with us is like going to the Mercedes dealership, right? When you look at a Mercedes, there's a level of expectation that's going to happen. When you walk into that dealership, the way you're treated, the way you're talked to, the way they handle you, type of vehicle that you're going to be getting into, even if it's a low end, it doesn't have to be a high end. You know, like that's how we want to treat everyone that we're going into, that they
like a white glove service,
You're coming to a 5-star hotel, you know, a 4-star restaurant type of deal. Like we want to make sure that we are handling you along the way. And,
yeah.
and a good friend of mine, Brandy, she always says, you got to wear your customer as a backpack. Bring them along for the ride.
Yeah,
wear
that's good.
A backpack, you know? And so the whole service experience. And I think how we do service at LHR is pretty unique to how a lot of companies do it. But, you know, just in the small area that we live in, I mean, there's 30, 40, 50, maybe 100 plumbing companies that people can choose from.
Easily.
So what's going to separate LHR from all these other companies?
Yeah.
It's got to be how we deliver our service.
Oh, absolutely. And you can show your clients how you deliver that service before even going out there, right?
Absolutely.
So with your social media, with sharing reviews, with having a good website, you guys have a phenomenal website. I was on there this morning. It's important. And people forget that marketing side, right? It's really, like you just said, I love how you just said that. Bring the customer along for a ride. Wear them as a backpack. I love that. I'm going to use that. I'm gonna quote that a lot.
Yeah,
I'll make sure I give you credit.
That's Brandy Redman.
Oh, okay.
I'll give Brandy Redman.
I'll give her credit. and it really is like that building the trust is really important. And I think we're in a time right now where the industry is shifting over to, you're going to start expecting 5-star service from your trades company, electricians,
absolutely.
You know, plumbing, heating, whatever the case may be. Customers are coming to expect that now.
Yeah.
Because there's such great businesses in the industries that are just going above and beyond for clients, right? That stereotype is starting to shift.
Yeah.
Like, and you can feel that now, right? People don't want to work for someone that only has like 4 reviews and it's like 3.5 stars and stuff like that. They don't always want to go for the cheapest company anymore. They want to go for the company that's going to do it right.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people in the trades now, they struggle with their own prices.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that for a minute, right? Like, you just said $100,000+ to fit a truck, put a technician in it and run it.
Yeah.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
It's expensive. And I think now customers are starting to understand that plumbing, running a business like this is expensive.
Yeah.
And a lot of people always balk at, you know, they get 3 quotes and they always balk at, why are you so high? Why are you so expensive? But they never look at the one and be like, why are you so cheap?
Yeah.
Why are you so far off from these other two? that they're not going for those cheaps anymore, yeah. right? But before it used to be like, I'm never going for this highest one anymore because yeah. that they're ripping me off. But the shift is starting to change. It's not all the way there yet, where they look at the cheapest one and be like, I feel like I'm going to get ripped off by this guy.
Yeah.
So because of businesses like yours that bring that five-star level, bring that white glove service, it's starting to shift. And I can yeah. really feel that. I don't know if you're starting to feel that or if your guys are having a little bit more confident with, you know, presenting the price, because I know there was a shift there
yeah.
where a lot of plumbers were scared to present price to
yeah.
to clients.
I'd say, I think where we felt it most, where it became most evident was during COVID. So
yeah,
during the lockdowns, everything. So with supply chain issues, all that, like the cost of a water heater, like this is where, like it was so noticeable with water yes. heater. It's yeah. like, you're like, you know, we were just, you know, we hadn't really checked our price. We're, you know, still quoting water heaters the way we normally did. And then we realized, like, we're losing money on installing
yeah.
The most basic 40-gallon electric water heater. It's like, I cannot believe.
You're losing your shirt.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I cannot believe the money we have to charge for it. Like, that, so it's like, there's anxiety for the technician or, you know, I got to give them this price for a 40-gallon water mm-hmm. heater. Like, this is crazy, you know,
yeah.
But it's, like, I remember seeing that. It's like, it is what it is. Like, we yeah. can't be the only one that's charging these prices because it's, if we're paying this, everyone else has to be paying this. You know?
Right.
So,
right.
We definitely saw that during COVID is when it became really heightened. Like, it was really in front of us because, you know, crazy time and, you know, where everyone must, you know, you want to keep your techs busy and you want to keep everyone safe and, you know, we're trying to win these jobs and provide service. And then when you start seeing some of the pricing of this, because
yeah.
you can't get it. And it was insane.
Yeah, it really is. So back in the day when I worked for Heritage, I did inside sales.
Yeah.
Right. And my job as an inside salesperson was literally taking the no's for the customers that already said, no, I don't want to move forward with this, and trying to rehash it.
Yeah.
Right. And Heritage, we know they're a beast.
Yeah.
Right. They're a beast of yep. a company. Like they're Absolutely. Just, they're doing something good.
Yep.
I would take these no's, right? And I'd be like, hey, you know, Mrs. Smith, I see, you know, we had a comfort advisor out there, quote, you want a new furnace, you know, just wanted to follow up, see if you're still interested. No, you guys are so expensive. I got another quote for $2,000 less. Okay, great. And what I would do is I'd be like, well, Mrs. Smith, are you willing to, you know, send me that quote? And let me just make sure if it's apples to apples. If it's apples to apples, I'll match it. It's never apples to apples.
Yeah,
it's never apples to apples, yep. right? Oh, is this guy insured? Oh, I have no idea. Oh, okay. You might want to find that out before you.
Is
you
he warranting it?
Is he what kind of? I see, ma'am. He doesn't have warranty. Anything listed here on a warranty.
Yeah.
So totally do that, and then I'd see it. Be like, oh, miss, at the end of this quote just says estimate. Is yeah. this price firm? Is this going to change if there's a problem? Oh, I don't know, and that's how I would win the jobs. It's like. And you hate doing it because you hate, you know, throwing other companies under the bus. But it's like you have to educate your customer
Absolutely.
To make a right decision, right?
I think product knowledge is key right nowadays because people are just like, hey, I can give you this faucet or I can give you this leak detector or that. But like if you don't understand as a technician or a comfort advisor, like what it is that you're even offering, right? You know, like if I
yeah.
take, you know, man, I got this Roku TV. You know, like, hey, you can download apps and it can do smart stuff. And then I leave it right there. And,
yeah.
And I never explain to you the value of having this.
Yeah.
Well, then you're no different than anyone else. And
that's good.
You know, like, yeah. People are going to come to expect that. All right. So why do I want a tankless as opposed to a power venter?
Right.
Right. Why do I want a tankless as opposed to that traditional tank?
Because all they're seeing is the price difference, that's too.
All they see is price. And so it's our job. We have to bridge the gap.
Yeah. You have to educate
right?
them.
You have to educate 100%. Them as to what's going on, what you get. And so, like, product knowledge, but again, one of the things we try to do, you know, at LHR, like, what are some of the things we're seeing?
Mm-hmm.
What for our technicians, what do you need training on? What do you need more knowledge yeah. on? Do we need to get a rep in so we can all collectively be all on the same page so that we can, one, speak with some sort of authority that we know what we're talking
right.
about, right?
Because yeah.
sometimes, you know, customers are like, you know, they come and they got their thing and they've had this thing that they really want. And so they've been, yeah. they're educated on it because they've been reading it. And we go there, like, I don't know what that is, you know.
Yeah,
so I want to make totally. Sure we understand what we've got.
Totally, and for the technician to understand their true value,
mm-hmm.
right? It's not about a price. They're yeah. they're paying for a service, right? They're not Absolutely. Just paying for a water heater.
Yeah,
you're paying for a service. You're paying for a warranty. You're paying for a relationship. You're paying for a company to completely back this install 100% and partner with you for the success that this runs properly for the lifetime of the system.
That way they're not a customer, they're a client.
Right.
Because a customer is a one-time hit. A client keeps coming back.
Absolutely. Right? It's a relationship. It's you're building relationships with every single person that you get. You're blessed to go out to, right? It's a blessing to be able to serve. Yeah. It's a blessing to be able to just provide for your family. It's a blessing to be able to help somebody in need. So it's, the value behind it has to be, the technicians need to understand that they're not just technicians.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, they're doctors of their trade.
They really are. They really are. And when you're going out to someone's house, like, they're entrusting you to guide them and lead them in the right direction.
Yeah.
And so it's truly important.
And education is very important, not only for the technician to be educated on what they're selling and stuff like that and installing, but being able to educate and bringing that customer along for the ride as a backpack, man. Come on, Brandy.
There we go.
Very well. Tell me about some, let's talk about just LHR and what it means.
Yeah.
Local, honest, reliable.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
How did you, why are those three things so important?
So let me give you the backstory to LHR.
Yeah, please.
This isn't what it always used to be. So all my kids, myself, obviously my name is Angel, but all my kids start with A.
Okay.
And so when I was trying to think, like, there's too many AAA, this, that, the other thing. I didn't want to go down that road. So I took their middle initials. So my oldest son, my daughter, and my youngest son.
No way.
So this is their middle originally. So like my daughter will be like, that's mine.
That's awesome.
It's Lewis, Helena, and Richard.
No kidding.
And then, but, you know, that's like the real backstory to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing in business is, you know, like, that's my story. That doesn't mean anything to my community, to my people. So it's like, well, how can I bridge that to make it work for my community? So my wife, she came up with the local honest reliable. She woke up one morning. She's like, I got it. And she wrote it down. She's like, this is what it's going to be.
That's awesome.
And so it's stuck ever since. And so local honest reliable.
I mean, that's really cool. That's a cool backstory that a lot of people don't know.
Yeah.
That's really neat. I would never ever think of that.
Yeah.
So I was just like, wow, he really loves local honest reliable.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
No, that's so cool. You know, you and I, going off the topic of LHR, you and I have something in common.
Oh, really?
You know, not only as believers, but we also sing on worship teams.
Oh, true.
So for our audience, why don't you sing?
I'm not singing. I just had my wisdom teeth taken out. So actually, it's funny because we have practiced on Wednesday nights, and I had to leave because our lead worshiper wasn't there. And I'm like, I don't know. I can barely open my mouth. Like, I don't know if I'll be able to sing. And so I did. I was able to leave, but it was weird just feeling the vibrations through the sockets and stuff.
Totally.
So, but yeah, no, I'm definitely not. I
have a wisdom teeth. It was like 3 years ago when I had my wisdom teeth. It is brutal, dude.
Yeah.
It's brutal. Still probably kind of affecting me right now.
I'm still a little emotional, but.
It was a big loss. Big loss. How do you incorporate your beliefs in the Lord into your business? Like, how important is it to bring that relationship with him into LHR?
It's absolutely vital. So I think whether you're a believer or not, your belief system, it's woven into the fabric of who you are. So how you live your life ultimately permeates through whatever organization you're a part of. So as a believer, you know, I've been in church for a long time. And I've been in leadership in my church for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, I go to Emmanuel and Hooksett on Mammoth Road. You know, and I've had the honor of, you know, being selected by my congregation to be one of the deacons in my church. And so being able to teach and lead and all different facets has taught me how to lead, you know, LHR.
Mm.
How I learned to lead was through church, through faith. And, you know, like, so I believe, you know, serving in those types of capacities, you know, you tend to get wisdom beyond your years because you start to deal with real complex stuff in a church environment.
Yep.
You know, when it comes to personalities, you know, when you're doing youth ministry and you got to deal with parents and they can be difficult and you got to deal with the kids and all their baggage. And, and then you deal with young adults and everything that they're going through. You walk with them through those things. You learn to be compassionate.
Yeah.
You learn to lead not from a place of always worried about the numbers. And again, yes, we're not running a nonprofit. We need to make money, but that really isn't our focus. So like when issues arise in our organization, it's okay, what's going on? Why is this happening? Mm-hmm. Let's have a conversation. What's going on at home? One of the big things I always tell my technicians is, you know, service doesn't start and stop when you punch in and punch out. You know, service is who you are. So when you punch out and you're going home, like, give a call. Hey, is there anything you need before I come home? I'm on my way. Like, how can you serve your family? How can you serve your kids? So we've tried to structure our organization in a way where our team can be present with their families. And, you know, I've had the honor of sitting down with some of these men in my own organization and just sharing some of my own failures, sharing some of my own struggles and how the Lord's brought me through those. And be able to, we've had Wednesday morning meetings turn into marriage counseling.
Wow.
And it's, you know, and, you know, to God be the glory. I mean, I've had two guys like, I need to tell you, you saved my marriage. And that's me, amazing. You know? And so that's, I think that is worth more than anything.
Yeah.
You know? So, I've learned to handle people in a way. I have a really aggressive personality. So people that know me on a real personal level, I'm not everyone's cup of tea.
Yeah.
I'm pretty aggressive and I can, you know, that's how I'm wired. So, I'm ready to go. And so, you know, there are some people that don't want to be around me because of my personality, and that's fine. And there are other people that, you know, they're attracted to that. But I've learned to be a better version of me. And, you know, try to be able to communicate, you know, whatever's going on within our organization in a way that is both truth, right? We're not gonna dance around the truth. We're gonna address the issues, but also from a place of grace. Because if I'm honest, like I tell the guy, like plumbing saved my life. Mm. I mean, I was headed down a bad road when I was a kid. I was headed down a bad road. And, you know, plumbing and working, you know, I mean, 23 years ago, like when I started plumbing, you know, industry was very different then. You could be harsh. You could work with these kind of hard taskmaster, and they, you know, these guys would crack the whip and they would say things and do things, and there was nothing you could do about it. And, you know, but the world we live in isn't that way anymore.
Right.
And so, but those guys helped shape me to work hard, to follow instruction, to do all that. And then, you know, come out of that and then have this divine appointment with the Lord and get saved and then go on this whole new journey of a world that I never knew. And it's like, oh, this is how I should be acting. This mm-hmm. is how I should address these, you know, and learn how to navigate my emotions, you know? And so it's just, it's been wild. Not perfect. I mean, my team, you could go interview my team. They'll let you know. Oh, we know when Angel sent out the email. We know when his wife didn't send it out.
Right, right. Oh, yeah. No, for sure. And we're not perfect, right? And that's the gospel right there, right?
Yeah.
It teaches us that nobody is, right? Yeah. Other than Jesus, there's no perfect person out there.
Absolutely.
That's beautiful, man. I love hearing that. You know, it's hard to find, you know, I've worked for many companies, right? And I'm sure you have as well with your growing up before, you know, starting LHR and stuff like that. To find a leader that is truly, truly leading, right? And isn't just trying to fill their pockets, isn't trying to just benefit themselves, but truly cares about the people working in their organization. It's far and few between, right?
Yeah.
There's not a lot of people out there because there's just the, I don't know. It's just, it's tough to find sometimes to find those leaders. And I think that's helped me with me leading my team and stuff like that. Similar to what you're saying. It's like, my pastor always told me that people aren't a interruption to your day. They are your day.
Absolutely.
Right. You that's have good. To make time for them. Right.
Yeah.
And there's people that have been in service manager roles and stuff like that, that just, you can never touch, you can never reach them.
Yeah.
Right. And that's so important to make sure that you're supporting your staff that's out in the field, because they are on their own island at a house that you don't know what condition's in and they need help.
Yeah.
Right. So being that leader that's always available and not only available to help them, educate them on the task at hand, but to help them just better themselves.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Is great. So I love hearing that, man. Yeah. That's so cool. That's such a blessing to hear.
Yeah.
Tell me about some obstacles that you've ran into you know, running LHR, because something we talked about before we started the podcast, you know, it sometimes it sucks being a business owner. Sometimes it's really difficult.
Yeah.
And sometimes you want to throw in the towel. What are some obstacles, you know, give me an example of obstacle that you ran into that maybe someone that's listening that's just starting a plumbing company might be able to avoid. So tell me about an obstacle that you might have ran into and how you kind of worked yourself out of that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. And I'll get to that question, like, but it made me think, like, a lot of the obstacles that come, it's like, you know, and you get frustrated and you think why, but it's like, then you stop and I think, like, well, I asked for this.
Yeah.
I want to get to this next level. Well, I have to walk through this valley in order to get to that next level. Sure. Like, literally, I asked for this. Like, why am I complaining? You know? You know, there's, I would say the biggest obstacle is the comparison game.
Yeah, it's hard.
In the day of social media, and there's these, you know, there's the influencers just in our industry, and, you know, they're, you know, 20, 30 million, $100 million companies, whatever the case may be, you know, whatever they want to flash, you know, that's the danger of comparison. Like, I want that. I mean, they did this within, you know, in such a short amount of time. Like, what am I doing wrong or whatever? Right. It's like, you got to keep everything in context.
Yeah.
And like, you don't know what type of help they've had in the background. A lot of people aren't going to tell you, you know, if there was private equity involved and all that other stuff. Sure. And whatever the case may be. Like, you know, just because your buddies are driving Mercedes and they're driving Land Rovers and they're doing all this, that doesn't, I mean, it doesn't mean they're making money. I mean, a lot of that could just be a facade. It's all on credit, whatever the case may be. I would just say this, anyone starting off in this industry, like, you don't have to be the next whatever, you know. I know you said you work for Heritage. Like, everyone knows Heritage. They're the one of the largest service companies in our area. Like, don't worry about, like, you can't be them. They've been around for a long time. They have processes and procedures that have been perfected over time.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a reason why they are where they are. Right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, if you're just starting out, you don't spend the money on getting a wrapped van. Like, that's ridiculous. Yeah. Don't spend the money on getting the latest CRM software. Don't spend the money on having to, you know, invest in all these high-end tools that you can't even really afford yet. Like, just be your true authentic self.
Yeah.
And that's really one of my struggles, because I look at that and I'm like, I want my team to have the best. I want this. I want to have the best, because there's an ego that drives that. You know, again, I said my personality, like, I'm, you know, I want to be the best. I want to do the best. And but again, I want to do it with integrity.
Yeah.
But you can lose sight of what's important. And would it be nice to have, you know, the pro press? Sure. Well, guess what? There was a time where I couldn't afford having pro press.
A lot of people couldn't. Yeah.
You know, thankfully we've been blessed, and, you know, we got one, we got two on every truck now.
Right.
But there was a time where we couldn't do that. Mm. Did I want it? Yeah. Did I feel a certain way because I couldn't provide it for my team? Absolutely.
Sure.
Right. But, like, the reality is, like, don't keep up with the Joneses, because you're going to go broke trying to impress people that don't care about you at all.
Yeah.
Just be true to yourself. Find your process. Stick to your process, whatever that is. Perfect it along the way. Small things. You know, you think of, like, a rudder on a boat.
Yeah.
It only takes a small adjustment to move in a pretty big ship, right?
Yeah.
So, like, just be that steady rudder. Like, you see something that ain't working? Okay, let's adjust here.
Yeah.
And we do it every week, almost every day in our business, right?
Yeah.
Hey, we've been doing it this way. We realize, hey, we got to find something else. And then, okay, let's make a small tweak. And then that small tweak, it was like, okay, hey, it looks like we're on course here.
Yeah,
right?
Good.
And so I would say, like, stay out of the comparison game. You don't have to compete with me. Like, again, like, I have a unique skill set. I've been blessed to work with some really great people that taught me a lot about our industry and the business. So, like, I just turned 41, and so when some people look at me and they're like, "Wow, you've been doing this for 23 years," I'm like, "Yeah." Like, even some of the guys that work for me that are older, like, I have more experience, so, like, I can speak about things, and it's just like, again, wisdom beyond my years, as it seems, right? But it's just, I just have more time invested, and so, like, just be true to yourself. Don't worry about doing what they're doing and getting all the shiny, flashy stuff. Yep. Just be you.
Yeah.
And then that will take you far.
100%. I think that comparison game literally buries businesses because they just get so laser focused on doing what everyone else is doing, that they lose focus on just providing exceptional service. And that's where it starts, right? Yeah. That's where it starts with you're doing a side hustle. You're not running around in a wrapped vehicle, right? Yeah. You're going out there in your pickup truck.
Yeah.
Right? But people are calling you because you're providing an exceptional service.
That's it.
And you're treating them like family, right? You're going above and beyond. It has to start there. Once you start looking at, like, if you're trying to grow your business by getting a wrap, by getting the tools,
yeah,
and you're losing focus on the beginning of it, of just providing exceptional service and mastering your craft, then you're missing a huge step. And then you're going to have all these tools and stuff you're going to have to sell.
Yeah.
Because you're just going to go under because you lost focus on the serving part of the trades.
Yeah.
And that's exactly, I think, what makes me love the trades, is because it is a servant's heart.
Yeah.
Right? You literally are going out and solving problems every single day for people that are in either desperate needs, emergency situations. You're literally the knight in shining armor showing up and fixing this, right? Or it could just be a maintenance to make sure they don't run into a catastrophic failure in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
Right? So it's, the world cannot survive without plumbing.
Yeah.
It just cannot survive. That's the only thing separating us from being a third world country.
Yeah.
Is having active plumbing here.
Yeah.
No doctor can do their job without plumbing. Nope. Right? Everything is around the trades, and I just absolutely love it. And I love being able to meet and talk to individuals that you could just tell either hate their job or they have that servant's heart.
Yeah.
Right? Because you do run into the technicians that you hire because they have a license, they check off all the boxes, right? Yeah. And they interview really well.
Yep.
Then you put them in a truck, and that's when you start realizing, this is not the person I interviewed.
Yeah.
And again, something we started talking about before running the podcast is, like, it is hard nowadays, especially for the trades, I think.
Yeah.
To find good, solid help that aligns with the values and structures that the trades are moving into.
Absolutely. And I think that's where it comes, like, your leadership, like you have to set the vision, you have to set the tempo, you have to set the tone of who you are, where you're going, and what you expect, mm-hmm. right? Not only from yourself, because it starts with you, and be able to be disciplined in yourself and be able to, if I can use it, lack of better, like, minister to your people, to teach them how to do the same thing, right? Because essentially, like, your people, they're your ambassadors, they're your mm-hmm. disciples for whatever your company is. And so it starts at the top. So I have had seasons, you know, I had a season where I was miserable to be around. I did not like being in business. And I came in one morning and I had my entire team sitting there and they called me to the carpet.
Wow.
And I had almost my entire team about to walk out on me.
Wow.
And that was just a real kind of come to Jesus moment. Like,
yeah,
we don't like being around you. We don't like working for you. Like, what's going on? I lost focus.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't being disciplined. I was too focused on other things. And so, you know, one of the things that really helps me with that, not only just my faith, but, like, I have a pretty strict workout routine, you know? Yeah. You follow me on social media.
Oh, yeah.
You probably see a lot of my workout videos. But, you know, like, that is my release. That's just how I can get my stress out.
Mm.
And that's how I start my day off. 4 o'clock, I'm up, I'm hitting the gym. That's where I go. And I've got this new love with Olympic lifting. I just had my first meet. It was
that's awesome.
It was the craziest thing. Like, I love Olympic lifting. Shout out to Coach Randy Tuck. So, it's important for us as the leader to set that tone of what we expect, right? And when we don't, you know, inspect what you expect. And so, like, if we're not setting goals for our people, if we're not setting goals for the company, we got to give our people something to shoot for.
For sure.
If we give them, you know, the Bible's pretty clear. There's no vision, the people are lost. They're scattered, right? They don't know nothing. So if we don't give them something to shoot for, they're going to shoot for everything.
Yeah.
You know, or they're going to shoot for nothing.
Right.
And so we have to, in a way, as leaders, we have to draw out, not only draw more out of our people, but we have to bring them to a place where sometimes I think as individuals, we need someone to breathe air into us,
yeah,
right? We need like that. We need, you know, like when we need someone to come and hold our arms up in order mm-hmm. for us to keep going. And so sometimes we can see things that, like our kids, we can see something in them. It's like, so we want to cultivate that in them. It's
right.
like when I get guys that come from, typically guys that come from different companies that have been doing this a long time, they have bad habits, things like that. And it's like, I let them know real quick how we do business here.
Yeah.
We're not, you know, we are about the service. We're about doing it right now. And we're in the right now business. And so mm-hmm. like, whether that's disciplinary stuff, like there are times we got, hey, come back to the office. We got to chat.
Yeah.
About what just happened, all this, and it's not that you're in trouble. We need to address it right now, because if you allow that, it's just going to keep going. And so
right.
we have to encourage our people to rise up to be more than they are currently.
Yeah.
And I think as a leader, it's important, and it's fun too.
Sure is.
Coach, you know, to be able to coach your people up is
yeah.
really
to see an those
honor.
Wins and victories. Yeah. It's
an
fulfilling.
Honor.
Yeah.
You know, like yeah, I got some guys like they're, you know, trying to hold them accountable. You know, they're quitting drinking. They're doing some different things to get their life to be healthy again, do all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so it's awesome to ride, be along part of that journey with them.
Yeah.
To encourage them and it's like, hey, baby steps. Just start right mm-hmm. here, right here.
That's right.
Don't worry about all the other stuff.
That's
yet.
Right.
Right here.
Yep.
One day at a time.
Yeah.
One day at a time. Okay. Now we can incorporate X, Y, and Z. Okay.
Yeah.
Now we can incorporate this. So. It's we got to do that in all aspects of our business.
How hard is it to feel? Because you know when I was hiring technicians, right? It's you know, you can teach the technical side of things, right? But if you don't have the heart to serve,
mm-hmm.
it's really hard to teach someone to have the heart to serve.
Yeah.
So how often do you run into like interviewing somebody and you're just like, man, they check all the technical abilities off, but we value our, you know, values so much that we have to pass on this candidate because they're just not going to portray our values the way they want to. Does that ever happen to you?
Yeah. So we have, you know, that's one of the things that kind of keeps getting perfected, changed. It's our interview process / onboarding process. And, you know, our typical interview starts with just a phone interview.
Yep.
We call it the creep test. So
gotcha.
One of the girls calls, and women have great intuition. So
yeah.
One of the women calls, and if they can't get past them, they don't even move on. So
yeah.
you got to pass the creep test. And then when they come in, then the first set of interviews is really just, it's all about the personality and how we do business, the LHR way, the mm-hmm. our philosophy, how we do things. And we can pretty, you know, we give pretty specific type of questioning to see
yeah.
when it comes to just service in general. Actually, yeah, where are you going? Try to see what their mindset's at. And we try to filter. It's not perfect, but, you know,
yeah.
we try to filter people out in that way. And once if they can pass that, then they go into, all right, this is how we do business here at LHR.
Yeah.
So they can see our process. They get to meet our service manager. They get to see, like, how we run calls. And because how we run calls is pretty unique to a lot of other companies. So,
where there was a book that myself and my leadership team read at an old plumbing company I worked for called the Ideal Team Player. Mm-hmm. And our interview process went from just being like, do you know how to install a boiler? Cool. Do you know how to do this? Do you know how to do that? Great. Okay, perfect. Tell me about a time that, you know, you had a call back and how you fixed it, stuff. It went from that to being like, there was specific questions. And in this book, it gives you resources to
yeah.
go online and find interview questions, right? And it breaks them down into questions that let you know if they're humble.
Yeah.
Let you know if they're hungry.
Yeah.
And let you know if they're smart.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was a breakthrough
yeah.
of just being able to interview in a different, unique way. And it really worked. It really worked. Once we shifted to that, we ended up passing on a few technicians and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, they're going to find jobs somewhere.
Yeah.
But once we were like, man, listen, they're smart.
Yeah.
They know the trades and stuff like that, but they're not hungry to grow.
Yep.
They're not hungry to learn something new. They're not open to really training and stuff like that. And they're not humble. They're not going to own up to their mistakes. They're not going to be honest with you and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that was a great book that helped lead the next generation of people that we hired and stuff like that. And it really turned a mold for just the overall atmosphere of the business too.
Yeah, because that book really, when I read that book, it did the same thing for me. That actually transformed our interview question.
Yeah,
like how we did everything.
Yeah.
So, because it's true, like you can, like there are some people in your organization that yes, they're technically superior to everyone else, but they are a cancer to everyone, and like. That can really hurt your organization to have it, because you can teach technical. We can teach technical to anyone if they're willing. You can't teach personality.
Yeah.
Either you have that servant's heart, you're willing to serve, and or you're not. You know, that's one of the things I tell this, you know, some of my my lead guys, and you know, some of the older guys, like, we gotta start, you know, we need to, you know, because back when I was in it, like, everyone kept all their information close to their chest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one wanted to share, like, how to fix this, how to do that. Like, no one, it's like, now it's like, guys, pour into this next generation so that they can, you know, like, there's nothing new under the sun. We only have a few more years left of, you know, really doing this at a high level. Like, we got to start training these guys so that they can go out and do it as well. Like, they're not here to take your job. They're here to assist you.
Yeah.
Right. And then we need to, you know, in some cases, our trade is dying.
Yeah.
You know, there are more plumbers retiring than there are going into this trade, you know, specifically in New Hampshire. Like, we need to start training these younger generation to take the mantle and run with it.
Yeah.
And turn them into darn good technicians.
Yeah. The one thing I've noticed and heard too, and this is what kills me about the trade, right? Because there's so many restrictions, right? Obviously you don't want apprentices doing jobs by themselves and stuff like that. I get it. But the fact that there's so many apprentices that leave because they can't find a company that's willing to take on a green apprentice.
Yeah.
Right.
Everyone, it's expensive.
It's so expensive. It's such a large investment.
Yeah. Because you're essentially, as a company, you're babysitting for 4 years in New Hampshire, right? It takes 4 years. In 3 years, they can have their gas license. So then there's some stuff they can do.
Sure.
But like, realistically, 4 years. And then even at 4 years, just because they have the schooling and they have the license, it doesn't mean they have the competency, the experience to actually do the work.
Right.
And so, you know, like, this is the part that people don't understand or they don't see. You know, it's that hidden dollar, right? The invisible dollar. Like, we're trying to train these guys up and bring in the next generation. But as a business, you know, it gets really expensive to bring on greenhorns.
It so is. And the fact is, too, is like, there's a lot of kids out there that want to start their own business, right? And I think that's a fear for a lot of companies, a lot of plumbing and heating companies out there, that like, all right, we're going to bring this guy on. Once he hits his fourth year, he gets licensed, he's going to bounce and try to start his own business.
Yeah.
And it's like, I always try to stay away from that mindset. And it's like, I think it's like Richard Branson that said, like, train people well enough that they can leave and be successful somewhere else, but treat them well enough that they never want to leave your business.
Absolutely. There's something to be said about taking care of your people. Like, I tell this to the people in my organization, you know, my technicians, like, you're made for so much more. Like, you're not, again, I will say it again, you're not just a plumber. You're not just, you're not. And like, I want them to dream. I want them to gain skills. And listen, maybe their future isn't with LHR. Maybe you're just here for a season. You've learned some stuff. And then maybe, like, I've had a couple guys go and they really felt called to go start their own thing. What a joy it is to be able to say, like, all right, buddy,
you're a part of their success.
You know, like, I get to be a part of their success, because the reality is there's enough work for all of us, right? It's just so cool to be able to, like, you know, like, some of these guys that have sent out, like, they'll send me pictures. They'll still talk to me and all that, and be like, you know, I had a really good teacher. Thank you. Stuff like that. Like that's really cool.
Yeah, you know? And you have leaders that get really upset at that.
Yeah. I think the whole point, like, you think of it like a father to their children. Like, you always want your children to be better than you were, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, when you have your team and you're building your team, you want to build your team so they can replace you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to be the smartest guy in my organization.
Yeah.
I want to hire people that are smarter than me. I want to hire people that are better than me.
Yep.
I want to hire people that are going to challenge me, that are not yes men, that are just going to, oh, Angel's here, that's what he said. It's like, and never push back on that. Like, we're never going to get anywhere doing that, because, like, what got us here isn't going to get us there. And just because this is how we do it now doesn't mean it's not how, that doesn't mean that's how we, it's going to have to be.
Yeah.
We have to be able to be flexible as a leader. humility goes a long way.
Yeah, totally.
You know, because, you know, if you've got to take ownership of that, and it's one of our first core values, extreme ownership, Jocko Willing, right? Like, that just permeates with me. Like, anything that goes wrong, it's my fault. What didn't I communicate? So if something goes wrong in my organization, a job went bad, or someone didn't do something, or whatever the case may be, where did I fall down? Did I not tell my management team this? Did I not relay all the information that needed to happen?
Like, yeah.
No, it wasn't the apprentice's fault. Yeah, the apprentice may have put it together, but you're the lead guy on site. Right.
You're in charge.
Don't point the finger to him.
Yep.
I didn't do it. I didn't check. And we're human. We're going to do that. We're going to fall. We're going to make mistakes.
For sure. So,
but it's not the mistakes. It's, all right, where do we go from the mistake? So it's, you know, you got to take accountability for all that stuff.
No, absolutely. To kind of close out this interview, which has been phenomenal. Thank you. Tell me a story of maybe like the worst situation you've ever been in as a plumber. Absolutely just rotten story.
So I have two.
All right. All right.
So I have one when I work for someone and I have one for that happened to us.
Okay.
So I was probably a second year apprentice. And we were rehabbing these condos down in Nashua. When they were built, they were probably built in like the 50s or whatever. All the soft copper came through the concrete, so it was all rotting. So we were bringing all new copper. This is the date. We weren't doing PEX in these days. We weren't doing CPVC. So copper, soldering, press wasn't even a thing.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the last building, the last unit of the last building. We've probably done 12 of these buildings. So you get pretty cocky.
Yeah.
Right.
Just fly through it.
You just fly through it. He's like, I got this. No big deal. So what we were doing is we had, you know, they're garden style apartments. So like they were back to back kitchens. So they got kitchen on this side, kitchen on that side. And what we were doing is we were cutting squares in the kitchen cabinets. We were running lines down, soldering on some T's and putting new shutoffs on and bam. So I started off cutting big holes and then I got some skill and some confidence.
Oh, yeah.
So I started making smaller holes.
Nice.
So I had my water bottle, cut my hole, had my water sprayed up in the hole, right? I had my fire extinguisher with me because I was prepared, right? So they dropped the pipe down. I'm sweating the tea. Boom, boom, boom. I see an ember go up. And I'm like, oh, take my hat, put it backwards. I'm like, nah, nothing there. Keep going. I finish it. Someone comes in. They're like, there's a lot of smoke in the hallway. I'm like,
No.
Take my hat off, look again. The bay lit on fire. I'm like,
come on.
Grab my fire extinguisher. Well, my hole was too small. So when I blew the fire extinguisher, just hitting the back wall, it wasn't going up.
Oh my gosh. So
I couldn't, because I didn't have a hose on it. It was just a little spout there.
Just and a straight on shot.
That's it. And so, and the tenant was sitting on the couch. And I kid you not, Matt, like within 3 seconds, the fire was out of control. You could hear it. God. You could hear the fire going down the bay. The woods like, and I'm like, you gotta go, you gotta go. And we're running through the apartments to get all the cats out. We had to get all the cats out.
How many cats were there?
There were a lot of cats. So we had to get cats out of the apartment. Fire department comes and they, I burnt 3 of the units out of the 12.
Oh my God. This is why people have a hard time hiring apprentices.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you took ownership of that one.
Yeah.
Gosh. Definitely. You ever see Pee Wee Herman, the movie Pee Wee Herman, when he's in the just when you said you were running out with a bunch of cats, I think of like there was a fire in the pet store. Pee Wee Herman's in there grabbing all the animals, running out with like 20 animals in each hand and stuff like that. And that's all I can picture. You're running out with like 8 cats.
Yeah, there was a bunch of us grabbing the cats. Yeah, that was a horrible experience, but it was an experience that
I bet you learned something from that one.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
I learned a lot. And then, you know, you know what else I learned? That's where I learned a lot about grace right there in that moment, because the owner of the company at that time, he didn't even show up to the job. His wife showed up and then it was a Friday. And he said, everyone at the shop Monday morning. He's like, oh, I'm getting fired.
Yeah. I mean, you would think so.
I would think so. Right. But, he was able to speak from a place of experience because he had something similar happen to him on Christmas Day. And he had gone to a service call back in his younger days and cut a small hole because he didn't want to ruin it because they were having a party and set the house on fire.
Wow.
And so so he was able to extend grace. And that's where I learned, like,
accidents happen.
Accidents happen. And
This is why this industry is so yeah. important.
Yeah. Be careful, like, before you start casting judgment, because that could be you.
Yeah.
That could be you. So, yeah, that's probably the scariest one that happened. So,
yeah. Yeah. Do you ever get something we didn't talk about? We'll talk about briefly. Your son works for you.
Yeah.
As an apprentice.
Yeah, my son, man, he's.
So when he burns down a 12-building apartment complex, you're going to be able to have that opportunity to show that grace right then and there.
I don't think he knows how to solder. He presses everything.
That's so true. That's so true.
It's either pecs or press. So
yeah.
Yeah. No, I think, you know.
That's just the industry changing, right?
Yeah. It's evolving. You know, it is so cool. Like when people, well, one, no one believes I have an 18-year-old son. You know, 41.
We don't look 41.
Yeah. Having my son, like, and this was, you know, I'm not the smartest person. I'm pretty blessed. All my kids, they're very intellectual. They take after mom. So, like, when it comes to school.
Thank goodness.
When it comes to school, my kids, you know, they can play the game of school really well.
Yeah.
I hated school.
Ditto.
You know, not that I did horrible in school. I just didn't apply myself because I did not like school. Mm-hmm. So I probably could have gotten better grades, whatever the case may be. But this is my path and this is, you know, my lot. This is where it's led me. So, and my son, he's so smart. And I think in his junior year or senior year, he actually signed himself up to go to take plumbing at the Manchester School of Technology. Awesome. During his senior year. And he's like, yeah, I took plumbing, signed myself up for plumbing. I don't want to go to college. I'm going to go work for you. I'm like, you sure about that? Like, you don't have to, just because we have a family business doesn't mean you have to come work and do this. Like, you know, sky's the limit for you. You can do whatever you want. And he's like, nope, it's what I want to do.
Awesome.
And, you know, it's really a blessing to see that next generation, you know, like my own kin, right? Like, wanting to take the mantle and do something with that. I think that's
thank goodness, because you probably don't have a lot more years left in you. You know, those knees are probably starting to get sore. Yeah. Dude. Probably not yours because you're Olympic, you know.
Yeah. I try to keep my knees healthy. But there is something to be said about, you know, like, you know, breathing life into your kids and mm-hmm. trying to give them direction. I think there's so much pressure on our kids, not just my kids, but kids in general. Like, you know, they're in junior high. Like, well, what do you want to do when you grow up? It's like, I mean, I can't even make my bed. What do you mean? What do I want to do? You know, so it's, you know, I think I want to try to support my kids any way I can, you know, whatever their dreams are. You know, my daughter, she's really big into theater.
Yeah.
She's on our worship team. She sings with me.
Awesome.
But unlike me, she's a natural singer. So she sings really well, where I actually have to work at it.
Yeah.
And so she acts, she sings, she does, she loves the arts. And, you know, she has this dream of she wants to be on Broadway. And it's like, well, babe, you can do that. Mm-hmm. You just got to apply yourself because no one's going to give it to you.
Right.
You got to totally. Put in the work. You know, my youngest son, like, he's 12. And he taught himself how to solve Rubik's cubes, and we literally just signed him up for. He's part of the World Cubing Association.
That's so cool.
And he has his first competition coming up, so he can solve his Rubik's cube. And it's like,
wow,
you know. So I want to try to cultivate whatever my kids want to do. I want to try to encourage them to do those things, you know. And I think it's important for us as leaders, as men, to one, be present with our children. You know, whether you're married or divorced, whatever the case may be, like, you have a responsibility and an obligation to provide and protect.
For sure.
And when it comes to our kids, like, it's not giving them everything. That's, I think that's probably the worst thing you could do for your kids, you know. But I think too many of us, you know, and again, like, there are some parents that they just want to be their kid's friend. And I always tell them, I'm not here to be your friend.
Yeah.
I'm your father.
Yeah.
And I want to guide you and cultivate you. And we're going to have difficult conversations at time. And I'm going to challenge you and I'm going to push you. And my kids have challenged me. And, you know, I'm not so proud that, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've had to apologize to my kids.
Oh,
because I did something wrong or I acted out and, you know, out of my own emotion, out of anger, whatever the case may be. And it's like, you know, got to humble myself and apologize to my children.
That's huge.
But having my son, you know, like, having my son come and work for me is such a blessing because he's so his mother. Like, he's like, my wife and I are so opposite. I mean, she's very meek, very mild, cool, calm, collected. Everything's water off a duck's back, you know?
Yeah.
Where I am in your face, aggressive, very black and white, very bold. He's just like his mom, always has a smile on his face, always just like, okay, cool, nothing affects him, you know?
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful thing, and he brings such a vitality to the team. He doesn't answer to me, because it's easier that way.
Sure.
He answers to Mark, so that way, you know, we can't, I think we always expect more out of the people that are close to us, and so I think it's easier that I don't put unmet expectations on him.
Yeah,
put a burden on him that he's not called to bear.
Yeah, you know,
this is my cross to bear. It's not his.
That's awesome. So that's very cool. I always love to see, you know, family businesses and then seeing the kids get involved and stuff like that, or even seeing businesses that have been around for 40 years that were started by their parents and now they're taking over and stuff like that.
Yeah, and my sister runs the front office too.
Oh, no kidding.
My oldest sister. Yeah,
she that's awesome.
She runs
a true family business.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
What's one closing thing, one message,
to
reach, you know, anybody right now that you would want to say to close out this interview?
I would say, man, if you're on the fence of starting your own business, like if you're there, like there's never a good time to do it. You just got to do it.
Yeah.
If those are your convictions, then do it. You know, have that conversation with whoever you're working with, like, give them the benefit of the doubt too, because you know you owe them that courtesy because they're investing in you.
Yeah,
they're spending a lot of money on you. Just have the conversation, have the dialogue, and whatever you do, just do it with integrity.
Yeah,
you know, like stay out of the comparison game. Just be your true, authentic self. And when you stay true to yourself, you stay true to your convictions. Yeah, it's not going to be easy. Nothing's ever easy. Anything good, anything worth its weight, is not going to be easy, but it'll be worth it.
Totally.
It'll be worth it.
So totally.
Just stay true to yourself.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Angel, Matt, I really appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah.
This was a phenomenal conversation. I really think that a lot of people are going to find a lot of value from this conversation, man.
Well, I hope so. I'm kind of an open book. You can read me.
When
I'm upset, you know.
We'll have to have you on again, because I feel like I could have gone like another hour talking to you, man. But truly blessed to have you on here.
Sir.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Angel from LHR.
Peace.
God bless. Take care.
God bless.